Michigan's entrepreneurs are seeing dollar signs with the state's vote in November to legalize recreational marijuana. But many out-of-state interests are already moving in. Michigan is not the first state where investors have spent big on marijuana.
So this is where we keep all of our product. Bulk product, packaged product is in all those boxes.
Manager Ryan Gentleman is showing me around the offices of THC Design in Los Angeles, California.
Here's packaged flower. You can see Space Oddity. We named it after David Bowie when he passed away.
Gentleman has been part of California's marijuana industry for more than a decade, long before recreational use became legal in California in January. He says new out-of-state players are spending big for a piece of California's multi-billion-dollar cannabis industry.
Not to exaggerate, in the last few months we've had two different Canadian companies, and they're like coming down here like kids in a candy store. They literally have hundreds of millions of dollars, and it's like Brewster's Millions, where they have like a limited number of time to spend that money before they do their next raise, and they're literally just throwing money at a wall.
Michigan could be the next big market for some of that cash, and not all of it will be spent on greenhouses and retail shops. Patrick Ray is the CEO and co-founder of Canopy Boulder. He says the investment fund out of Boulder, Colorado, focuses on companies that support the marijuana industry. Ray says they invest in that part of the industry that's less dependent on plants and consumers to make a profit.
Don't bet on race horses. Invest in the racetrack.
And one of the companies that Canopy is investing in has plans for Michigan. Roy Bingham is the CEO and co-founder of BDS Analytics. The company follows trends in the legal cannabis industry, specifically tracking which brands and products are selling well and which are not.
We'll see how things go in November, of course. But Michigan, you know, it's a large state in terms of population. It's probably the fourth largest state in terms of sales already in the United States, and that's very important. And if adult use passes, it will end up being perhaps the third largest state in the nation, so very important to us.
Bingham guesses half the jobs in Michigan's cannabis industry will be ancillary ones like his. And a lot of the people filling those jobs in Michigan might not be Michiganders. For example, Logan Goolsby. He works as a compliance officer with a marijuana business in Colorado. But Goolsby sees his future in Michigan.
I'd love to take my experience from Colorado, 8 years of experience, and move that up to Michigan to help that state and those clients up there.
All of this outside money and talent moving into Michigan is not going unnoticed. Joe Neller is with Green Peak Innovations. The company is creating an industrial complex near Lansing that will grow upwards of 15,000 marijuana plants to serve the medical marijuana industry. Neller says out-of-state companies are moving in to both the medicinal and potential recreational industries in Michigan.
We knew going into this that it was going to be a highly competitive industry and market. But we also recognize that cannabis is a global industry. You have operators in Canada, Germany, Israel, Australia, a number of countries that are looking not just in Michigan, but everywhere in the United States.
When Michiganders vote on legalizing recreational marijuana use in November, they could be opening the door to thousands of jobs and big money investment. But how much of that will directly involve Michiganders is unclear. I'm Steve Carmody. In November, Michigan voters will decide if they want to legalize recreational marijuana. Supporters say the industry that develops should be an economic boost for rural Michigan. But legalization has been a mixed bag for rural parts of Colorado. 2 acres of marijuana plants are growing in this pristine greenhouse sitting on a lonely prairie in southern Colorado.
So here's our flower bays. This bay's finishing out. It's ripening out right now. So
Sam Toman is the chief of business development for Strawberry Fields. He also oversees the company's cultivation facilities.
Yes, we're doing really well. We're in a rough market right now, but that'll change.
Strawberry Fields is just one of dozens of cannabis businesses that have taken root in Pueblo County in recent years. One local official likes to call the county the Napa Valley of Colorado's pot industry. The growth in this largely rural community has been so robust that local officials have imposed a moratorium on new licenses.
Good afternoon, Greater Pueblo Chamber of Commerce. How may I help you?
On a hot August day, CEO Ron Slyhoff is sitting in his office at the Greater Pueblo Chamber of Commerce. Slyhoff says cannabis businesses are becoming a part of the local community. He says a half dozen have even become members of the Chamber of Commerce. But despite rising business investment and jobs, Slyhoff says there are problems. For example, he says people failing drug tests is becoming a bigger and bigger problem for local employers.
Not that it was easy before the legalization, but it seems like it's more more prevalent now that they can't pass the test.
There are many people in Pueblo County who are not thrilled with the cannabis industry. Paula McFeeters lives in Pueblo with her young children. She says the growing cannabis industry is changing her community, and not for the better.
I never had an alarm system on my home. I have one now.
Since legalization, the county has seen an increase in property crime and homelessness. There's also been an increase in seizures of drugs like heroin and amphetamines. And in the first 6 months of this year, Pueblo County Sheriff's deputies have busted more than 40 illegal grow operations. To get a better handle on how the retail marijuana industry was affecting the community, officials commissioned a wide-ranging study by the Colorado State University at Pueblo's Institute of Cannabis Research. Professor Mike Wakefield is an economic strategist.
Yes, it is employing people. There are business owners that are taking profit. But again, that profit is being subsidized on the back of taxpayers.
By that, Wakefield means many of the tax dollars being raised by the marijuana industry are being spent dealing with the county's rising crime and homeless problem. Though Wakefield admits he would like to have better data on crime and homelessness from before legalization. Back at the greenhouse about 30 minutes south of the city of Pueblo, Strawberry Fields' Sam Toman believes people in Pueblo County are becoming more accepting of the marijuana industry and see it as a positive.
Yeah, the community has been really receptive. There's been a lot of jobs created over this industry, and the stigma of like, this is drugs or this is bad has kind of gone away.
November 6th, rural voters in Michigan will have to decide if the potential economic benefits from embracing recreational marijuana will be offset by changes to their communities. I'm Steve Carmody. Michigan voters will decide in November whether to legalize recreational marijuana for adults. One major issue is how to keep it out of the hands of young people. Tim Schlumberger is an Aspen, Colorado high school student. On a sunny morning last month, he was hanging out with a few friends at a Boulder, Colorado skate park. He says he doesn't use cannabis, but many of his classmates do, and some do a lot.
Yeah, it depends. You got some people who are doing, like, started smoking weed when they were really young, and then they just got into harder drugs and stuff, and it really screws with them.
According to the Centers for Disease Control, teenagers who use cannabis products are especially at risk since the teen brain is still developing. So getting an effective message to young people has been an ongoing effort in Colorado. Andrew Freeman was Colorado's first state government marijuana czar. He now works as a consultant helping governments with their own marijuana industries. Friedman says Colorado's first teen education campaign was called Don't Be a Lab Rat.
We thought it was a softer message than just say no.
The campaign featured human-sized cages set up in public spaces around the state. Friedman admits it didn't go over well.
The industry and advocates looked at it and said those look like prisons. And we're like, no, they don't. They're giant lab rat cages. And then the rest of Colorado took a look and said, no, they look like prisons.
State and industry officials believe their messaging has improved since then, and the data suggests the message is working. Mike Van Dyke is with the Colorado Department of Health. His division monitors the effect of marijuana on public health. He says recent surveys show marijuana use among Colorado teenagers remains at the same level as it was before legalization. But there are also disturbing trends.
What we are starting to see in the adolescent population, we are starting to see some of that changes in types of products that they're using.
For example, Van Dyke says more teenagers are dabbing. Dabbing involves inhaling smoke from concentrates, which can be 50 to 90% pure THC. Researchers say dabbing produces a more intense high than other ways of consuming marijuana. And hospital emergency rooms may be seeing the results. Dr. Sam Wong is a pediatric emergency physician at Children's Hospital in Denver. He says a review of ER records shows the percentage of pediatric visits for marijuana-related health issues roughly tripled between 2005 and 2015.
Potentially, it's not that they're using more, but adolescents, when they're using, or the ones who are using, maybe using more potent products and being exposed to more higher amounts of THC.
Some health officials here in Michigan want to get ahead of the problem. Earlier this year, the Genesee County Board of Health came out against the November ballot question. Kay Doerr is the board president.
And if mom and dad are using it recreational, that sends a message. That models a behavior that makes it more likely that they will use as well.
For some, education is the best solution. Molly Lutz and her partner Sarah Grippa have developed a new curriculum for schools. It's already being taught in schools in Colorado, Texas, Florida, even one in Michigan. Lutz says they wanted to get away from the just say no model, which often equated marijuana with heroin and other drugs.
if we continue teaching marijuana with heroin, meth, cocaine, and other substances, we're going to lose the students whose parents may be using medicinally or recreationally. Students already know that it's quite different simply because now it's recognized as a legalized substance here in Colorado.
Lutz says Michigan educators need to be ready to answer questions about marijuana before voters decide whether to approve legalizing recreational use in November. I'm Steve Carmody.